Your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. One of my favorite verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 is verse 13. And so that's the one we're going to preach as our text today. And there's just three very simple thoughts that are in this text that we would like to preach and expound this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And this is a fabulous passage of Scripture, because it shows you that when you believe the Word of God, it will work in you effectually. Effectually worketh also in you that believe. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today for the opportunity to preach these words. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us today, Father. We pray for the children that are in the nursery and those that are working with them. Please keep them safe. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in the hearts of those who are taking care of them will be evident to the children in a way that only your Spirit could do, so that they would know church is a good place. Father, we pray for the children that are in junior church this morning and those that are helping there. Sometimes we get the idea that young hearts are just too young to understand some of the great doctrines of the Bible, but such is not the case. You reveal these things unto babes. And we pray for them today, Heavenly Father, that in their hearts, salvation for those that don't yet know you, and for those who do, a foundation upon which to build the rest of their lives. And I pray for us today, Father. The reason we're here today, among other things, is to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Not my words, but your words. And so we're asking, Heavenly Father, today that you will magnify your words above all your name. And through the work of your Spirit, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the work of the Word of God, we pray that you will accomplish in our lives that which you intend from this text, so that our lives will change and our lives will bear witness to the work of the Word of God, so that we'll be drawing closer to you, Father, and more effectual in the work that you have for us to do. For we ask you to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, here in this text, Paul is thanking God. Without ceasing, he says. And he's thanking for God because the Thessalonians received the Word of God. They heard it. They recognized that it was the Word of God when they heard it. And they believed it. And God was doing something with it in their lives. And what He was doing in their lives with the Word of God was evident. Paul knew that what he was seeing, what he was hearing about them, that the testimony of this church was the testimony of the work of the Word of God. Now, that's something. And you know, frankly, what God has given us in this Bible that we now have, most of you have one in your lap or in your chair next to you, it's supernatural. It is a very, very powerful book, and unfortunately, it is far too neglected by those who profess to believe it. The name of our church, Bible Believers Baptist Church. I remember when we were in the bunkhouse and there were just a handful of people meeting. And we were a mission of First Bible Baptist Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And we had a discussion, you know, if this forms a church, what would we call it? And that group there that day said, well, it should be called Bible for sure, because without that, we don't have anything. There's no reason for us to get together. And believers, because it's one thing to have it, it's another thing to believe it. And we want folks to know that we still uphold the Baptist distinctive. So how about Bible Believers Baptist Church? You know, we're not the only one of those around. There are a lot of those, but it's significant that our name is about believing the Bible. And so today we want to talk about this text and three things simply stated in this text that are necessary for the words of God to effectually work in your life. Number one, for these words to work effectually in our lives, we need to believe them. Notice again in the text, this calls also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So taking this text and working from the last part back to the first part, we see that it is essential. If the words of God are going to work in your life, you have to believe them. You have to believe them. It's not enough to simply read these casually like you'd read a magazine or read another book or read a newspaper or read some article on the internet. To believe these words simply by just looking at the definition of the word believe means to accept these as authoritative, to accept these words as true, to accept these words as accurate. These words are believable. You know, if I were to tell you, yesterday I caught a, 35-inch redfish in my kayak, some of you might be inclined to believe me and some of you might not be inclined to believe me. The truth of the matter is I didn't tell you the truth. I didn't do that. I said, if I had done that, and you were inclined to believe me, you would have been believing something that wasn't true. But here, when God says what He says in this Bible, you can take every one of His words as true. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. These words are absolutely true. They are, listen, they are believable words. These are, listen, as He says in the text, these are the words of God. You say, yeah, but men wrote these down. If you look at the last part of the letter, there's a postscript, and it says this first epistle unto the Thessalonians was written from Athens. Somebody wrote it. Paul wrote it, and he was in Athens when he wrote it. And so this is really the words of Paul, but it's not. These are the words of God. He happened to be the man who would have dictated these, somebody else's hand who would have written these words, and then they've been copied and they've been translated into English for us. And the wild and wonderful thing about this book is God preserved it so that you have in your possession the words of God. These are the words of King Jesus. Pastor Sal is with us today, and we're delighted that he could be here with his family. And he came and did something for us on the King James Bible. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And his common text during those sermons that he gave us about the words of God in the King James Bible was this text in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and so I say He is King Jesus, because that's the testimony of the Bible. And Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4 says this, where the word of the king is, or where the word of a king is, there is what? Power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Where the word of a king is, there is power. You know something, when Jesus Christ was in this earth, and He was born King of the Jews. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4 and notice something that happened. Luke chapter 4. Jesus Christ began His ministry in Luke chapter 4, and He had been tempted in the wilderness. And then when He returns in the power of the Spirit, He begins to preach. And in Luke chapter 4, look at verse 32. I'm just going to show you this verse. When they heard His preaching, look at it. Verse 32, Luke chapter 4, they were astonished at His doctrine. Watch it, for His word was with power. Are you surprised? not when you're hearing the word of a king, because the testimony of Solomon in Ecclesiastes is that where the word of a king, there's power. Look at verse 36. They were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power He commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. So the words of God are powerful words, and it was evident in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that when he spoke with authority, and when he spoke with power. You know, these words, when you think about it, the Bible gives you some testimonies. We won't look at all of them. Just want you to have an appreciation for these words that are in this book. And look at a few evidences of the power of the Word of God. Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. I believe one of the reasons that this Bible is despised by educated people, not all, but many, is that this Bible professes something that they don't believe. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I have no doubt in my mind where we came from. No doubt in my mind how this universe came into existence. No doubt in my mind where the trees came from, where the birds came from, where the grass and the herbs and the flowers and all these things you see came from. Not a doubt in my mind. They all came, according to this scripture, by the Word of God. He spoke everything into existence and then recorded for you what He said, so that you would know how He did it. And when you believe those words are believable, but they are, and they're authoritative, and they're true, and they're accurate, and you realize these things came into existence by the Word of God, and the Word of God is powerful. Quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a fabulous book. And fabulous words. Well, if somebody that wanted to make a living with a scientific education or something associated with that, let's say in biology or genetics or something like that, I might be inclined to tell you that they don't believe that's how this universe came into existence. And so they wouldn't believe the words of God. And for you and I to have the confidence we do and to know the things we do, you have to believe them. They don't work in you if you don't believe them. Not only that, you're in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 1 and look at verse 3. These words not only have the power to bring this universe into existence, but they have the power to hold it together. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, speaking of Jesus Christ in the context, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, watch it, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So God said, Son, now this is what you're going to do. And moon, this is what you're going to do. And stars, this is what you're going to do. And earth, this is what you're going to do. And birds, this is what you're going to do. And deer, this is what you're going to do. And coyotes, this is what you're going to do. And they all do it by the word of His power. By the word of His power. This is a very, very, very powerful words. Listen, and they work powerfully in your life when you believe them. As soon as you doubt these words, you understand in Genesis chapter 3 when the devil came to tempt Eve to eat the fruit that God had forbidden, the first thing he did was he raised a question about these words to cause her to doubt them. Once you can begin doubting them and then changing them and adding to them and subtracting from them and lying about them, then you don't know where you are. But you will absolutely know and understand these things when you believe them. God upholds everything. Jesus Christ upholds everything by the word of His power. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The Bible, Jesus Christ, when He was on the earth, was confronted with a man named Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was complimenting Jesus Christ on His teaching and said, you know, we know you came from God. We just know that. It's an unusual doctrine you have here. And Jesus said to him, he said, you know what? You got to be born again. That's what he said. You must be born again. And I can tell you how that's done right here in verse 23 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is so powerful, it has the power to save. Do you realize here today, we talked about the preaching of the cross this morning in Sunday school. Here today, I could preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could believe those words and your life would change forever when you were born again. That's happened to most everybody that's here today. Maybe everybody here today, I'm not sure. Maybe everybody here today already understands that. But very simply, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And on the day of his crucifixion, having lived a perfectly righteous life for over 33 years, God made him to be sin for us. I was telling somebody about that Friday night. I said the remarkable thing about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ is not that he just died for our sins. He was made our sin. He was made an adulterer and charged with every adultery that's ever been committed in this earth. He was made a murderer and charged with murder, that all the murders that have been committed, charged with theft and charged with or made a thief and charged with all the things that have been stolen, as if he were the one that committed all those crimes and died for those, was buried for 3 days and then rose from the dead with eternal life and says, if you will believe me, I will give you eternal life. You say, but that's just too simple. But that's the word of God. And when you believe that, your life changes forever. You go from being a child of the devil to becoming a child of a God instantaneously. You go from being dead in your trespasses and sins to being alive in Christ Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And it's all based upon whether or not you believe what he did for you and believe what he said. You say, that's a remarkable thing. You better believe it's a remarkable thing, and am I ever glad that I believed it. These words are so powerful, they're going to last forever. We saw that at the end of Sunday school. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Fabulous, wonderful book. And you know, all he said is, he said, look, I just want you to believe them. You know, sometimes, let me ask you something. When you were growing up, if your father was at home, and if your father was a man of some integrity, you believed everything he said. You believed everything he said because he was your dad, and you didn't have any he didn't give you any reason to not believe him. Now, if he did, that's another matter. But Jesus Christ has certainly never done that. You just believed him. So you may not have read all of the words of God. Matter of fact, you may not have read much more than what we've just seen today. You may be fairly ignorant of these words, but you know something? You don't have to know them all and understand everything about them to believe that they are God's words. And so, to the Thessalonians, Paul said, they're working effectually in you because you believe them. I remember I hadn't read the Bible all the way through. I had hardly even read it. What do you mean all the way through? I was 32 years old. I'd read, like I'll ask people, you ever read the Bible? Yeah, I've read it. Is it all the way through? Well, no, a piece here and a piece there. Yeah, I did that. Never read it all the way through. And I read Psalm 119, as you know, and God just dealt with me, showed me my life from His perspective. It was awful. Showed me His life from His perspective, and it was wonderful. And I decided I would start reading the Bible. And somebody had told me, watch Channel 6 at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning after this episode. And so it turns out it was Dr. Ruckman drawing men to Christ. And so I'm sitting there with a New American Standard Version of the Bible, getting ready to listen to this man preach, not knowing what I was getting ready to hear. And the second time that I heard him, he said, as you're turning to this passage, one that he wanted us to turn to, he said, stop at Luke 2:33. And if it says Joseph and his mother, you have the words of God. If it says his father and his mother, you don't. You have a perversion. Well, the New SV said his father and his mother. I said, well, that's not good. Ann had given me a King James Bible. When we married, I went and took that off the shelf and opened it up. And by the time he finished preaching that sermon, let me just tell you something. I had not read more than Psalm 119 and a few other passages of Scripture, but I believed that these were the words of God. And you know something? They are. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's something else in this text. He said, the words of God work effectually in you that believe. So for the words of God to effectually work in you, first of all, you got to believe them. And secondly, you must perceive them. You must perceive them. Look again. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now notice he said, the word of God, you see that? He said, because when you receive the word of God, which ye, what's that next word? Heard. You see that? The word of God, which you heard of us. And he says, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. That's perception. They heard. And they heard not the word of men. They heard the words of God. So for these to work effectually, you must believe them and you must perceive them. To perceive something is to hear it. It is to attain an understanding of these things. Let me give you an example of the contrast here. That may help you. Keeping your finger where you are, look in Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples, and he is also speaking to a lot of other people, scribes and Pharisees, people who are acquainted with the words of God that are in publication at that time. They may not regard them as the words of God, but those are the words that they are reading. All right, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus Christ spoke a parable to them about a seed and a sower at the beginning of this chapter. And then his disciples asked him in verse 10, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And he said in verse 11, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given." Why is that? Verse 14. "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and shall not," what's the next word? "Perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verily, I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower," and he goes to explain it. In another passage, he says to them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." You know, I am well aware, and any man that's ever preached to any group is well aware, that right now, while I'm standing here behind this pulpit or now beside this pulpit with this Bible in my hand and I'm preaching, there are a number of people in here that are not hearing a word that I'm saying. You know, when I first started to preach, I took that personally. And then I realized that there are people that are in church for whatever reason you came here, but you did not come here to hear from God. Whatever reason you're here, it wasn't for that. And there are some that are here today, and you came here prayerfully. You talked to the Lord in prayer. You spoke to Him about the matters of church today and asked Him to fill me or whoever was going to be teaching your class with the Holy Spirit so that when He spoke out of the Bible, you could get something from God and came with open ears, with a receptive heart, with an attentive mind, and with a spirit to be responsive to the words of God. You know what? You perceive. Because you're hearing, and you're not just hearing the voice of a man as you hear being projected right now, but you are listening for how God, through my voice, is speaking to you by His Holy Spirit in a way that I would not even be aware. I've preached and people have come to me and said, you know, preacher, when you said this, and I'm looking, those things that I said weren't even in the notes. But God knew there was something that that individual needed and ministered to them. I remember one time when I was early in the ministry, one of my classmates had asked me to go to his church and preach for him. You know, nobody else was going to ask us to do it. We were too young in the ministry, too young in preaching. And so he asked me to come and preach for him. And he said, I just cannot tell you. Because we had not discussed the people in his church at all. And we were sitting out having a meal after, I think, a Friday night, Saturday night of preaching. He said, I cannot tell you how you are ministering to our people. He said, I can tell you right now of 10 cases where something you said has ministered to a specific need that people in our church have. And you don't even know our people and didn't know those needs were there. And I said, well, let's wait till all this is over on Sunday night. And remember what those are. I want you to just tell me a couple of them. So we waited till everything was over. And I had my notes, which were fairly well written out. And he said, well, in this case, so-and-so, and you said this. And I showed him my notes, and nothing that I had said that ministered to those 10 people was in the notes. No, that... Lots and lots of time in prayer by that pastor, lots of time in prayer by the folks, and God was speaking to His people. You know what that is? That's perceiving the words of God. That's recognizing that I'm not just reading words that are printed in black ink, or if you happen to have a red letter Bible, red ink on white paper, or maybe discolored now yellowed paper. I am reading something that God wrote for all eternity, but He's teaching me and showing me while I read. I'm speaking of you. The doctrine of the Bible so that I can understand what He said and then the spiritual application He wants to make in my life. When you read like that, let me tell you something. Those words work effectually in you. But you have to perceive them. Listen, when you're at home and you take your Bible, if you don't do this, you ought to do this. You ought to get Psalm 119, verse 18, and you ought to pray that. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, and let God speak to you out of His words. You open your Bible at home and pray that way, and God speaks to you directly. Pay attention to what He's saying. I know something now that is absolutely true. You've been in the ministry and pastored for 25 years. That's some, not as long as others, but long enough to see this. The people in church that are getting help and getting help every week are the people who are paying attention to God. They are perceiving the words of God, and that's working in your life. And the people who never get help but who want the most help are not perceiving what God said. Did you hear what I said? The people who are not getting help, but who want the most help, are not getting the help they need from the words of God because the word's not working effectually in their lives. And the reason is you're either not reading it or you're reading it so casually and so unattentively that you're not perceiving. I'll tell you honestly, if you want the things in your life to start lining up with God, you have to hear from God. You have to hear from God. You have to perceive the words of God. And then those words will change your life. They will work effectual in you. So he says, you have to believe them. And you see in the middle of the verse, you have to perceive them. And then finally this. Let's read the verse again. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you... Now, let's read the verse together, and you tell me if you can think of the third point while we're reading. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh in also in you that believe. The first part was you got to believe it. The second point is you got to perceive it. What do you think the third point is? You got to receive it. It's written twice. You got to receive it. What does it mean to receive the words of God? Well, if you look up the word receive, it means to come into possession of. His words become your words. To come in possession of. To receive them means to assimilate them. What does assimilate mean? That means to take into the mind and thoroughly understand, to take in and utilize as nourishment. Boy, that reminds me of something Jesus said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Nourishment. In other words, I can believe this. This book can sit here like this. And somebody say, do you believe that? Oh, yeah, well, that's God's book. I believe that's the Word of God. Not going to do me any good sitting over there gathering dust on my table. And you know, I am speaking today to people right now, and you have your Bible in your house gathering dust on your table. You do. You know, it'd be really funny to have an altar call right now. Nobody would come. Because you wouldn't want anybody to know that I just smoked you out. Now, I can receive those words and say, I not only believe those, but the preacher said today that if I would believe them and receive them, perceive them and receive them, that they would work effectually in me. Oh man, I really heard. And you could actually go back home and even next week, you know, sometimes when the outline is really good, it's easy to remember. It's going to be hard to forget, believe, perceive, receive. And I've said it so many times, you know. And so you go, oh yeah, man, that was really good. Did you hear what the preacher said? Believe, perceive, receive. Well, that was good. Yeah, amen. See, and I was attentive enough to get that, and they still may not work effectually in me. Until I receive them and they become mine and we receive them and assimilate them and are nourished by those words and get to the place where we say, you know what? God has spoken to me and shown me out of the Word of God what it is He wants me to do. And I listen, boy, this is important. I am going to obey what He said. That's where things really, that's where, as one guy said, that's where the business really picks up in town. That's when things really start happening. Because He's now shown you and you were responsive enough to say, I am going to do what He said. Be ye doers of the Word. And not hearers only. It doesn't do you any good to believe these things. You know, I've had some people I've talked to, they believe they received them. And they can go and tell other people, you know, man, you know what, I read that, and this is what the Bible says about all that. But they're not doing what it says for them to do in their lives. Live by these words. Do these words. And they will effectually work in you. I'm thinking of the Owens right now. They were so excited when they found out that Hannah had twins. They've already got a little baby. The baby was born right when they came through here on on deputation, and so excited. And then they were born healthy, and prayer letter came out. Mama's good. Babies are good. Everybody's doing well. And today, it's like their world has just caved in. You know what they need right now is they need peace, a peace of God that passeth all understanding. They need comfort. You know, there are people right now who have had children that died like they've had, who to this day are mad at God and bitter with God over that. when you read these words and you know that God is loving, and you know that God cares, and you know that God is wise, and you know that God is righteous, and you know that the potter can't say to the clay, "What doest thou?" And the clay can't say to the potter, "What doest thou?" And questioning God does no good. Right now, they are going to learn some things about the words of God that they have never known in their lives. And if nothing else, once they find that comfort, there are going to be other people that they minister to have lost a child. And there's going to be a ministry of consolation greater than any they've ever seen. And they'll have the ability to minister some folks in a way that could not have happened if they hadn't gone through this veil of tears. But you got to receive these words to live in that ground. They give you peace. They give you comfort. They give you direction. This is the most remarkable book in the world for giving you direction. Man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Man's goings are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? You read that Bible and set yourself in a position where you are obeying God when He shows you what it is He wants you to do and what it is He wants you to believe, and you prayerfully consider, and through all of that, God leads you in decisions about marriage, in decisions about child rearing, in decisions about occupation, in decisions about the will of God for your life. All these major things, and small things too. You can take that time in the Word and spend time in prayer, and God's Holy Spirit impresses upon you exactly what He wants you to do. There's not a doubt in my mind, and I don't say this boastfully at all, but I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing now. And the only way that I can say that is this is the way that the Lord has directed through the words of God my life. And that's what He wants to do in your life. In everything that you do. The words give you peace and comfort and direction. These words give you hope. We have not gone through as hopeless a situation in this country as we will go through if the rapture doesn't happen soon. Now, I remember, you know, it wasn't that long ago, 10 years ago, we went through that housing crisis with the bursting of the bubble, and lots of people lost money in retirement accounts, and there were a lot of Christians who were frowning and upset. The only place you're going to find hope in a place like that is not in the comfort of somebody who says, "We'll turn this economy around." You find it in this book. Your hope is in the Lord. Your hope is in what He said. Listen, it's in the pages of this book that you find assurance. It's in the pages of this book, in the words of this book, that you find strength, that you find courage, that you find confidence, and you find joy. They are here. Those words are here. And they will not work in your life simply coming to church on Sunday morning and hearing somebody tell you what they'll do for you. You've got to go home and nourish yourself in these words, believing that they are the words of God, perceiving as He speaks to you what He's saying and receiving what He has said so that you can follow those things for the rest of your life. They then will work effectually in you that believe.